Our scripture reading today comes from the book of Psalms, and it is Psalm 19, 7 through 14. Psalm 19, 7 through 14. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Last week during communion, we looked at how Jesus desires his church, which he calls his body, to be unified, that we would all be in communion with one another. Obviously, he desires that. We're his family, his adopted brothers and sisters. And you know, unity is kind of a hot topic in the church right now. There's an obvious lack of unity in a lot of denominations. A lot of people are despairing over that, very verbal about the fact that this state of discord in the church is wrong. And they're right. It is. Just look at pretty much the entire book of 1 Corinthians. The problem is that a lot of them then choose to make unity their center. Unity is their focus. Unity is what they are pursuing. Unity is what they talk about, persuade others about. It is what they are willing to sacrifice everything for. And that is a great evil. Because you see, according to what God says in His Word, unity is not our pursuit. It is meant to be a byproduct. God gives two reasons why we ought to be unified. The first and foremost is that we are following Jesus. He's our focus. He's our center, not unity. But as we all follow Him, we'll naturally be unified. But see, then there's a problem. And this problem cropped up even while Jesus was here on earth. And so He asked His disciples, "Who do people say I am?" You see, different people thought different things about Jesus. Most of them were wrong. And since what they believed about Jesus was wrong, the Jesus they were following wasn't really Jesus. And Jesus doesn't want us to be unified while heading in the wrong direction. So the second thing that ought to unify us is our beliefs. You say you're following Jesus. Amen, brother. Amen, sister. Good. Now tell me what you mean by that. What do you believe? Our answer is very important to God. And so to help you answer that question correctly, to ensure that you're not following a false image of Jesus in your mind, for the next few months, we're going to be looking at our church's doctrinal statement. It's outlined in our constitution and is also in the pamphlets out in the foyer. As a byproduct here, I'm going to be hosting a membership class in the late spring and summer of this year. Some of you, for whatever reason, won't be able to attend that class. But see, you don't necessarily have to. If you were already a member of another like-minded church, you can just transfer your membership. But if not, All we require is that you have professed faith in Jesus Christ, been baptized, and can show that you understand and agree with our church's doctrinal statement. So if you're thinking about becoming a member, you really might want to pay attention the next couple of weeks. This week, we're going to start off with the nature of doctrine itself. Let's pray before we dive in. Dear Heavenly Father, we know there are some things in your word that you yourself acknowledge are confusing for us. There are many areas where you have not given us enough information to clearly know one way or another. And there are still other beliefs that you have been abundantly clear on, and you say that if we don't have them right, then we are not in your Son. We do not know him. Father, we do not want to arrive at the end of our days just to find out that the Jesus we've been following was just a fictitious construct of our own faulty thinking. Such a Jesus will not save us on the day of judgment. We want to be true to you, true to your word, true to your Son. So we pray that as we look at these beliefs, central to the Christian faith, here in the coming weeks, that we would be convinced and convicted by the truth, that you would dispel any lies or cobwebs residing in our minds, that our beliefs about you would reflect the reality of who you are. And we pray these things in your name and for your glory. Amen. Today, and for each of the following 16 doctrines we will look at, we're going to look at three areas. The first is what it is. You ever listen to a little kid recite a memory verse and then ask them what that verse means and they give you this blank look? Knowing doesn't do you any good unless you know what it means. So we'll look at that. Then we're going to look at why it's important. Why would God really want us to get this right? And then finally, we'll look at how to apply that doctrine to your life. I imagine when most people think of doctrine, the first thought that goes through their mind is boring. That's because typically when we study them, they are presented as dry, dusty facts, divorced from life. Like memorizing all those meaningless dates in history class. What does any of that have to do with me? But that's not ever how God presents doctrinal truths in his word. Believing these things is meant to transform our lives. Doctrine is always revealed right there in the nitty-gritty reality of everyday life, making a claim on your lives. So with each of these, we'll primarily be talking about the third area, how it applies to your life, the difference it should make. Starting off with doctrine, what is it? First, let's look at 2 John 1:9. Tiny little book right before Revelation at the end of the Bible. 2 John 1:9. It says, "Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son." In some of your translations, in the place of the word doctrine, it might say teaching or teachings of Christ. Really, doctrine is almost synonymous with the word belief. It is a distilled statement on the teachings about a certain subject. But here it says doctrine of Christ. See, the doctrines that really matter are the ones teaching, are the ones touching on Jesus. He's the one we are following. He is our salvation. So obviously, the beliefs about Him are the most important. And the ones, if you get wrong, will cause us to not truly be following Him. So when you look at a doctrinal statement for a church like ours, they are all beliefs that reflect upon God, on Jesus. They're on a list of things we believe about flowers or animals or what kind of movies you should watch in the movie theater. No, it's all things that touch on Jesus. So what is doctrine? It's a statement of beliefs. It's us saying, look, we're not some crazy group with a hidden and nefarious agenda. We don't mislead our people or anybody around us. See, we have a list of our beliefs. Anybody can read it. This is what we believe. And it shows that we care what we believe and have been careful to make sure that what we believe is correct. Now, some would say, what does all that matter? Why bother with all that stuff? Shouldn't it be enough just to follow Jesus and get along? Well, the problem is that there are a lot of crazy people out there. Cults. People who lie to others, even their own people, about what they believe. Look at Ephesians 4:14. It's page 1581 in your pew Bibles. Ephesians 4:14. It says that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. It should be enough just to follow Jesus. It should. But you might be mistaken in your understanding. And if not, there are a whole host of people out there, namely Satan, trying to get you to believe the wrong things. Now, case in point. Here's a video that I showed in my Sunday school class on the cults a few years ago.
Various cross currents of our times have brought increasing public attention to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. But even as we invite one and all to examine closely the marvel of it, there is one thing we would not like anyone to wonder about. That is whether or not we are Christians. Now, to anyone within the sound of my voice who has wondered regarding our Christianity, I bear this witness. I testify that Jesus Christ is the literal living Son of our literal living God. I bear witness He was born of a virgin mother, that in His lifetime He performed mighty miracles, observed by legions of His disciples and by His enemies as well. He took upon Himself the sins of the world, paying an infinite price for every sorrow and sickness, every heartache and unhappiness, from Adam to the end of the world. I testify He had power over death, because He was divine, but that He willingly subjected Himself to death for our sake, because for a period of time He was also mortal. I bear witness that He was literally resurrected from the tomb, and after ascending to His Father to complete the process of that resurrection, He appeared to hundreds of disciples in the old world and in the new. I know He is the Holy One of Israel, the Messiah, who will one day come again in final glory to reign on earth as Lord of lords and King of kings. Through the Holy Spirit of truth, may we all know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Then may we live their teachings and be true Christians in deed as well as in word.
Now, if all you had was this video, you'd think that Mormons, a Christian cult, believe every bit just like we do, that their Jesus really is our Jesus. But he's not. They use the same words, but the beliefs behind those words are completely different. Their God is not the eternally existing one with no beginning. He is somebody born every bit like you and I, who rose to godhood, then got given his own planet and harem of wives with which to have sex and populate it with. When they say Mary was a virgin, they mean up until God the Father literally had sex with her. Their Jesus is also the literal brother of Satan. Angels and humans are not God's creations. We are his literal offspring. When they say Jesus is God, they mean God every bit just like you and I will one day become gods and likewise be given our own planet to start populating. When you dig into them, you find that their beliefs are absolutely nothing like our beliefs. We literally have more in common with Islam than with Mormons. And needless to say, we don't have much in common with it. They aren't Christian. But see, they're really good at misrepresenting themselves, even to their own people. I'm sure most Mormons have no idea what Mormons actually believe. So it's important that we know what we believe, so we won't be deluded, blown about by the trickery of men. Now, why is doctrine important? I just kind of gave you a good reason. But there's a better one. God gives all throughout his word. See, doctrine is the reason why we do what we do. In the Marine Corps, we folded all our clothes in little 6-inch squares. Leaving the Marine Corps, I was still going to be a good, disciplined individual and do what I ought to do. And so I continued making 6-inch squares. That became a problem when I got married. My wife didn't want to get on the 6-inch program. She said if I wanted to do it that way, I could do it myself. So I was left asking the question, was this important enough that I should do it myself, fold my own clothes, so as to ensure that my clothes continued being 6 inches square? I thought about it, and thought about it, and I couldn't think of any reason why clothes ought to be 6 inches square. No reason at all. And that was the end of that. See, without a reason, we have no reason to do what we do. And so we stop doing it. Our beliefs are the reasons behind what we do, and they transform the world. Think of Stalin butchering 40 million of his own countrymen. 40 million. But see, he and his fellow communists truly believed that they were ushering in paradise, that the sacrifices would be worth it, because for the rest of time it would be proven that they did the right thing. What shouldn't you be willing to sacrifice so that people can reside in paradise? Right? The power of beliefs. Hitler believed that Germans were the master race. The German in me agrees with that. The Jewish part, not so much. The Native American part just mutters something about crazy white people. But they believed it. And some countries they took over actually welcomed their coming. Because, hey, things were going well for Germany. They obviously had their act together. So what could be bad about joining a growing, prosperous empire? But then they found once Germany took control that they weren't allowed to be in charge of anything, take care of anything that mattered. They weren't even second-class citizens. They were treated like lesser beings, animals. Why? Because Germans were the master race, the top of the evolutionary ladder. Everybody else was genetic garbage. Those countries would have known better if they bothered to study Hitler's beliefs. Beliefs dictate what we do. And that is why doctrine is important, crucially important. See, God acts in history. He does something. We can interpret why people do things in a variety of ways. God doesn't leave the interpretation to us. He tells us, here's what it means. That meaning is doctrine. Creation, what does it mean? God's the creator. He alone is God. Jesus turned water into wine. All kinds of things we could infer from that. One correct one, though. God says it means Jesus is the prophesied Messiah. God acts. God says what the action means, which is doctrine, and then that doctrine in turn makes a claim on our lives and becomes a reason to act. Only one God? Then I should worship him alone. Jesus is the Messiah. Then I should put my faith in him alone for my salvation. Doctrine is the reason we do. So we saw what it is, a list of basic beliefs, primarily touching on Jesus. We saw why it's important. It's the reason we do what we do. And hopefully we aren't doing things that go against those reasons. Now, let's consider how we can apply what we've learned today to our lives. 1 Timothy 4:13 says, "Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine." Now, judging from the misleading nature of that video we watched a moment ago, I would imagine that quite a few Mormons have no idea what Mormons actually believe. Unfortunately, I don't think that characteristic is limited to cults. I think you could easily say that most Christians have no idea what Christians believe. That's a serious problem. How can we hope to not be deluded by the trickery of men, false beliefs, if we don't even know what the right beliefs are? God clearly doesn't want that to be the case. He says, pay attention to doctrine. Know it. Know what you believe. Obviously, this sermon series is meant to help out there. So by way of application, you could make sure you're present, week by week, as we go through our church's doctrinal statement. Take notes. Learn it. Pick up a pamphlet in the foyer on our church's doctrines. Read it. Look up the verses. You say you're a Christian. Good. Now know what you mean when you say that. Pay attention to doctrine. Know what you believe. Another part of that is know why you believe it. I would sincerely hope that none of you would say that you believe something because I've said it. If that's the case, then I have failed as your pastor. Learn what God's word says for yourselves. Learn the history behind the doctrine. Interestingly enough, as you read the Bible, whenever the Israelites started going astray in their beliefs, sometimes blatantly choosing to go get lost in the woods, God did tell them doctrine, a little, but primarily, he gave them huge history lessons. Remember when this happened? Remember when that happened? Do you remember what I did in the days of your forefathers? And you can imagine people's eyes glazing over. Yeah, heard that story about a million times. And then God would say, then why haven't you drawn the correct conclusions from it? Doctrine is based on history. What God has done. Get the history right. And chances are you're going to get the doctrine right as well. Now, for instance, in 2 Peter, it talks about false teachers bringing in destructive heresies, denying the judgment of God. Now, there's a doctrine that God is the judge. Can't be a judge without executing judgment. But these people deny that. What does Peter say to correct that false doctrine? Does he talk about the justice of God? Does he expound on how God is the judge of the living and the dead? No. No, he gives a history lesson. No judgment, huh? Yeah, well, what about Noah and the ark? Remember what happened in those days? What about Lot? Don't you remember what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? You know, the whole fire and brimstone thing? Doctrine is based on what God has done. Real space-time historical events. Get your history right, and your doctrine will be right too. Know what you believe. Know the history behind it. And then finally, and most importantly, live out those beliefs. In Titus 2, 9 and 10, Paul was talking about bondservants, and he said, exhort bondservants to be obedient to their own masters, to be well-pleasing in all things, not answering back, not pilfering, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of our God and Savior in all things. What was he telling them? He was saying, by your actions, show what you believe. The point is that all over the world, all throughout time, people have acted based on what they believed. Beliefs have toppled empires, moved armies, built nations. A belief, a false one, caused Eve to take a bite of that forbidden fruit. That's why we say the pen is mightier than the sword. Change what people believe, and you change where they point their guns. You want to know what you yourself believe? Take a look at your actions. Doctrine is not meant to be a list we say we adhere to. It's meant to be beliefs we live out. If you say you believe it, then it makes a claim on your life, and it is meant to transform your life. I love cheese. Love it. Had a friend who was allergic to it. I asked him, how can you possibly get by in life without eating cheese? He gave me this incredulous look and said, because it's poison. And for him it was. But see, he truly believed that. You could tell because he never ate cheese. Never even wondered what it tasted like. People act on what they truly believe. Know what you believe. Know why you believe it. And live out those beliefs.